As the million-dollar man Ted DiBiase would say, everybody has a price, and it appears that the cost of acquiring Lamar Jackson was a bit too high for the New England Patriots. Stick around. You're about to be locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast.
You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all of you Foxborough faithful. Thank you once again for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage. Please subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episode as soon as it's available. I am your host, Mike DeBate, and I cover your New England Patriots for Patriots Country of Sports Illustrated. So reach out to me and let me know what is on your mind on Twitter at MDABATENFL. And while you're out there showing some love to the Twitterverse, please be sure to follow the Locked On Patriots account as well at LO_Patriots. Pats fans, the rumors connecting the New England Patriots to Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson appear to be short-lived. Folks, we're going to discuss and break it all down for you today. And because it's the midway part of the week, we are going to be joined by the Midway Monarch here on Locked On Patriots, the illustrious Claire Classy. Claire Cooper will join me in just a moment where we'll talk all things Lamar Jackson and the Patriots quarterback room. So stick around, an action-packed show for you today on the pod. But we start with the news of the day, and that is just one day removed from Patriots team owner Robert Kraft sending the fan base into a frenzy. We start to get reports that Lamar Jackson and the Patriots are unlikely to be united when it comes to the 2023 season. First, on a Tuesday night, Boston Sports Journal's Greg Bedard reported that the Patriots were not likely to pursue a deal for Jackson's services, whether either by signing or by trade, and he cited three league sources on that. As such, the seas of speculation seemed to calm down a little bit. And then they really went to a flat calm on Wednesday morning when the Athletic's Jeff Howe essentially confirmed that the Patriots were unlikely, barring any unforeseen circumstances, to go after Lamar Jackson. And folks, when we look at this with a little bit of a clear head, when we start to let a lot of the excitement settle a little bit, it does make really perfect sense for the New England Patriots to bow out of this. Their interest in him initially, and we said this yesterday here on the pod, was tepid at best when the initial wave of free agency started. Even before that, when Lamar was tagged with the non-exclusive franchise tag, a lot of reports out there. Mark Daniels of Mass Live was one of the first to report that the Patriots were unlikely to pursue a trade for Lamar Jackson, or at least try to work out a deal with Lamar Jackson. But that really started to swell a little bit, and it picked up, as business usually tends to do, when Robert Kraft revealed that he had received a text from rapper Meek Mill generally claiming that the former first-round draft pick wanted to join the New England Patriots. Now, Jackson remains one of the most dynamic talents on a pro football field. There is no question that this guy can assimilate into any system, and I believe he's a perfect physical specimen to quarterback any team, even with some of the narrative out there that he may be injury prone. Yes, he's missed five games more in the last two seasons. I'm not holding that against him, folks. I still think there's a lot there that Lamar Jackson can contribute. But because of that, the New England Patriots look at the overall cost of what they're getting, and I think that appeared to be the sticking point for them. Not only would they be forced to surrender two first-round draft picks to the Ravens to get Lamar Jackson, but they'd also be negotiating what many project to be one of the most lucrative contracts in the NFL. With just north of $12.9 million in available cap space, New England would need to act quickly to create the necessary room to even consider bringing Jackson aboard. And during his appearance yesterday here on the pod, Patriots salary cap expert Miguel Benzon indicated that shedding some of the team's most highly compensated players, aka cutting them, would be the fastest way to achieve such a goal. He specifically mentioned a few: Trent Brown at the offensive line, tight end Hunter Henry, wide receiver Devontae Parker, defensive end Dietrich Wise. That would clear up a good amount of salary cap space, and it would allow the Patriots to then try to attempt to sign Lamar Jackson to an offer sheet. But even though those moves are going to create the sufficient availability under the cap, how eager would Lamar Jackson be to join a team that just jettisoned two of their best pass catchers, the top option at offensive tackle, and a key member of their pass rush? That would be compromised, to say the least. And you can understand where the Patriots are coming from. You don't want to necessarily gut the roster in order to satisfy one player. That's a cost, and that's something that the Patriots had to weigh. Now, there is an alternative to making such drastic roster cuts, and Miguel laid those out very nicely here yesterday as well. The Patriots can restructure the deals of some of the higher-earning players. Matthew Judon was somebody he specifically mentioned. Devon Godchow, Adrian Phillips, David Andrews. These types of restructures could convert most of their 2023 scheduled compensation into a signing bonus, and then you could add four voidable years onto the end of their contract. Now, the Patriots have dabbled in this area before, folks. We've seen them do it with Tom Brady, Devin McCourty. Voidable years are done and added all the time. But in years past, they've only done this sporadically. They've done it individually, and they haven't been so widespread. Doing so with several big money contracts could create salary cap peril for the foreseeable future. And that's something that New England is trying to avoid. So there you go. There's another layer of the cost that the Patriots would have to bear. Perhaps most importantly, there's the conundrum of guaranteed money. And Miguel also talked about this yesterday here on Locked On. If you haven't had a chance to check it out yet, I do encourage you, go back, take a look at it. With hindsight being 2020 now, you'll see exactly where all of this came into play. And Jackson is seeking a long-term top-of-the-market deal. And by all accounts, he's not wavering from that. It could earn him the highest annual value earning in the NFL. And he is also requesting that most of the total value of the contract be guaranteed. I'm not going to say like for like, but he's looking for a deal structured very similar to what Deshaun Watson got in the 2022 offseason from the Cleveland Browns. Now, not only would Jackson be demanding contractual longevity from the Patriots or any potential suitor, but he's also going to look to comfortably exceed that $32.4 million salary, that value of his non-exclusive franchise tag. With a short-term, more team-friendly deal seemingly off the table, the Patriots just, I don't think, have the wherewithal or really the desire to completely change the complexity of their roster to pursue a player, even one as dynamic and as great as Lamar Jackson. There's just too much financial commitment for a player who, again, has missed more than five games in each of his last two seasons. And of course, New England has the rest of the roster to think about in fielding a competitive team. So Jackson's going to remain embroiled in that contract dispute with Baltimore. A lot of people still believe that he's played his final down in Baltimore. Where he'll end up, that's a conversation for another day. But his next down being played in Foxborough, a very, very remote possibility at best this point, folks. It appears to be looking less likely with each passing day. And that's starting with today. So now the Patriots know that they're probably going to be moving forward with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe. So in that case, what does this mean for the Patriots' contracts? What does it mean for their quarterback room moving forward? Well, we're about to bring in the Countess of Klaz herself, Miss Claire Klazzy Claire Cooper of Pat's Propaganda and A Claire Perspective, the Patriots podcast, to prognosticate what that may mean for the Patriots quarterback competition. We're also going to get her take on the Lamar Jackson situation and whether just the compensation alone of surrendering two draft picks might have been a little bit too high to begin with. We're going to talk about all that and more when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first, folks, today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at FanDuel, and the tournament is at a fever pitch, and there's no better place to get the action other than FanDuel, America's number one sports book. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. and sign up today to claim your no sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to the point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net, all on an app that's safe, that's secure, and it's super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Patriots fans, the rumored interest that the Pats might have had in Lamar Jackson appears to be fun while it lasted. Reports on Wednesday morning from The Athletic's Jeff Howe that the Patriots are indeed not pursuing Lamar. Of course, these are always taken with a grain of salt. I definitely trust Jeff's sources with every fiber of my being. But until it's confirmed, there's always going to be speculation. But today here on the pod, we're going to talk a little bit about the other types of costs that may have deferred the Patriots from wanting to pursue these types of deals. And that is the cost of 2 first-round draft picks. Is it a little too rich for the Patriots' blood? Well, we're going to discuss that today with one of our very favorites here on the pod. It's Wednesday. It's the midweek. It's time for a visit from the midweek monarch, the Countess of Klaz herself, Claire Klazzy Claire Cooper of Pat's Propaganda, and of course, the host of her very own podcast, The Claire Perspective, powered by FBC Patriots. Countess, thank you so much for joining me here today, as you do each and every Wednesday. I know you saw the reports from Wednesday. It's been an interesting 24 to 48 hours here in New England, deciphering through all the Lamar Jackson rumors and whether it's possible, whether it's not. But I know that you had a pretty strong take on the Patriots' investment of draft capital in order to secure Lamar's services. When you look at the 2 first-round picks that would need to be submitted in order to secure his services, what was your reaction to that? What do you see out of the Patriots? And do you think that played a hand in maybe them backing off a little bit on pursuing Lamar Jackson?
Well, I think it was definitely kind of a cluster of things. I wouldn't say that it's really predominantly the only thing, because as Miguel alluded to yesterday on here, that, you know, that it was definitely the economics of it was would really struggle to have added up for the Patriots because of how much Lamar seemed to be sort of wanting. I know that he's already sort of like turned down a certain offer by the Ravens, and that's why he's on the non-exclusive franchise tag and stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's obviously an individual that will warrant considerable money, but it's also an individual that is expecting considerable money, as well as obviously what the draft stock it would entail. And the one thing in regard to that isn't so much just what you look at as the sort of the first two draft picks. I think it was Robert Kraft, not Bill Belichick, that mentioned yesterday or the day before in the sort of owners meetings of how valuable draft selection is and how valuable that the players are when it comes to from the draft, because obviously you're getting quite good value for money, you know, possibly depending on how each player obviously sort of undertakes his career. But, you know, rookie deals are quite invaluable when it comes to cutting costs and stuff like that. So it isn't just the small picture of how much the Lamar wanted on his contract and how many sort of draft, you know, the first round draft picks that it would entail. It's then the ripple effect that has on, you know, the rest of the costings and the rest of the, you know, what it would entail in regards to the team. And I think the thing that stood out to me the most over sort of the actual physical cost of his contract and the actual draft picks is the impact it would have on the team overall in regards to cuts, as such that Miguel mentioned yesterday. It would take, I know obviously this is still costing, but it would take sort of deconstruction of the team. And that's the thing that really sort of hit me in regards to, because I was more of the sort of side of not sort of wanting them to sign Lamar. Now, that's nothing against him as a player, as a quarterback. I know, you know, he's very good. There was lots of things that added up for me. And I've had this kind of back and forth with a couple of my Patriots friends in particular. And I know that I felt like I was in the minority, that I was sort of didn't want them to, you know, to chase after Lamar, to spend the money to use the draft picks for him. And I initially thought that maybe I was of a minority, but I think it was Tom Curran did one of those quick slants polls on social media yesterday or the day before. And I was really surprised to find out that actually it was 43% were get Lamar, And 57% was to stick with Mac, which did quite surprise me, because I did genuinely think I was in a real minority when it came to them not really wanting them to have Lamar. In regards to how it affected the team, it had nothing to do with him as an actual individual, as an actual quarterback. It had more to do with the fact that his injury history, what it would physically cost the team in regards to draft picks, how that would affect the future of the team. It feels like, as Patriots fans, we've gone through a few years now, very transitional, very sort of, I'm saying rebuild, because it doesn't quite hasn't quite been that sort of situation, but the transition from Tom Brady through to Cam Newton during a pandemic year over onto the rookies first year, then you go through that sort of trial period, experimental period of a non-true offensive coach, if you like, in regards to Matt Patricia, that sort of experiment as Robert Kraft did mention the other day at the owners' meeting. And it just feels like they've gone through so much of that already, that to have an individual that would necessarily to gain that individual in regards to the quarterback to take apart what would be needed to take right. apart with the team, cutting guys to save money, not drafting earlier in the draft, you know, having to use those draft picks so you wouldn't get your cream of the crop, or whatever you want to say, in regards to the draft. Yeah, sure, that they'd still have sort of the third or fourth round, that sort of thing. But you aren't getting the top players. So it's another year that you're not drafting those individuals. So it's another year that you're going on without those rookies that you build the team up with and stuff like that. So to me, it felt like too much would affect the team to enable them to gain that player. And as good as he is as a player, would what he can bring to the team really be able to smooth over the cracks of what would be created to be able to bring him into the team with regards to the loss of players and the loss of draft picks that would entail? And for me personally, as a Patriots fan, and I know obviously this is just my opinion, and I know a lot of people will not agree and believe that, you know, he is worth it. And I fully respect those opinions. It's just for me, from my perspective, it was too much. It just seems too much. And I think that with bringing in Bill O'Brien, I know we'll talk about the current quarterbacks in a moment, but with bringing in Bill O'Brien, it really felt like what they brought in, how, you know, who they've kept and things like that, possibly with the exception of Jacoby Myers. I know that's a different topic that's already been covered. It seems like what they've looked to do is build a Patriots team around the quarterback that they have in regards to Mac Jones. And so I just think that it was a long shot and maybe just too much compromise with the rest of the team. And I fully appreciate there will be fans sitting there saying it's worth it. And I don't blame you for saying it. It's just, in my opinion, I didn't actually think it was necessarily worth it at this stage, how the team is, what would be needed to be given up. So yeah, that's just kind of my two cents on the matter, really.
Well, I think it's worth a lot more than 2 cents. I'm glad that you mentioned the financial costs and brought those in, because Claire, let's face it, none of these decisions are made in a vacuum. All of these decisions have to factor in. It is the draft capital that needs to be surrendered, but it's also, I think, a big part of it is financial costs alongside it. You can make the argument that giving up 2 first-round picks for Lamar Jackson services is a pretty good deal. It's not necessarily a deal breaker. You can go that level and say, if we're going to get a 26-year-old dynamic quarterback that's capable of being a dual threat, as long as he's healthy, one of the top players in the league, you almost have to say, okay, we're going to do that every single time. But the New England Patriots are not in a perfect financial situation either. It's not just the 2 picks they're giving up. It's 2 picks along with, like you said, like Miguel said on Tuesday here on Locked On Patriots, jettisoning guys like Trent Brown, Hunter Henry, Dietrich Wise Jr., Devontae Parker. These are restructures. These are either cuts that need to be made, things of that nature. Mostly, it's cuts that need to be made. You cut those 4 players, all of a sudden, Lamar Jackson may want to play in New England as much as anybody, but is he going to want to go to a team that is devoid now of two of its top pass catchers, of its top weapon on the offensive line? Is there going to be a situation where it's not as appealing of a destination? So the Patriots have to take all of that under account. And when you take a look at the fact that it would be two first rounders in addition to all these cuts, yeah, that's a problem. And that's something that I think New England is realizing after the euphoria dies down of saying, wow, Lamar Jackson wants to play here. We, as a Patriots team, have the chance to go get him. Cooler heads always have to prevail in that circumstance. So I think you articulated that well, and I'm glad that you brought those elements in because it's such an important part of this argument. It's not one thing over another. It's not saying, oh, well, we just don't want to part with the picks or we just don't want to spend the money. When you have to part with the combination of both, it can have a detrimental effect on a franchise. We've seen it happen before, and it's a situation where the Patriots just have too much, I think, financially on their plate to make this work. So I agree with you. I think that this is now an opportunity for the Patriots to move on and see what they have, because they have been building towards something, toward a quarterback room that does look an awful lot like this is going to be Mac Jones's team in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, completely. The other thing to mention is, I know obviously as Patriots fans, we're only really concerned with, you know, what the Patriots think and sort of what the Patriots do. But at the owners' meeting, you know, there were other head coaches that sort of alluded to the expense of Lamar Jackson just being maybe that little bit too much. I think it was Pete Carroll was quite candid in saying, someone asked, you know, if they'd move on from Geno Smith, you know, Lamar Jackson, and they're very complimentary. You know, he's a very good player, but we just couldn't afford him. And I mean, Robert Kraft said, we want to make the playoffs. And as you said, in regards to the cuts, now, a lot of people say, oh, well, you can get on, you know, without Devontae Parker, you can get on without Hunter Henry. But we're already, as Patriots Nation fans that are, there's a lot of fans that are kind of already sort of shouting for that weapon, you know, give Max some weapons. If you bring in Lamar Jackson as a bigger weapon that he is, are you really making the playoffs? Is that really possible with just your quarterback? Because don't forget, you've emptied the tank of a lot of other things as well. You know, defensive line in regards to Dietrich Wise, he's been so invaluable recently. I mean, last year was his, what was the joke? His breakout fifth year or something like that, that kind of the fifth year job. But he was so good. So then you're compromising your defense. And last year, your defense was your strength. So, and obviously you're taking away Hunter Henry and Devontae Parker. And I know a lot of people sort of weren't, you know, not very fussed with that, but if you haven't got anything, you haven't got any money, you haven't got any draft capital to replace those guys, who's Lamar throwing to? So all of a sudden, you may have a really top quarterback, but Robert Kraft wants to make the playoffs. And for me, it's like, is that really possible when all you've really got in your offensive weapons cupboard is one quarterback and not very much else, because you can't afford very much else at this point? It just seems... to me, it seemed like too much would have to be deconstructed, as we said. Too much, they'd have to sort of rewind so much. And as dynamic as Lamar can be, there's always that injury concern. There's always, has he hit his ceiling?
Right.
You're investing a lot of money to not necessarily, you know, there are a few ifs and buts there. And yes, granted, there is when it comes to Matt Jones as well. I fully appreciate that. But it's a lot of investment for kind of a considerable risk, as we said, and emptying the cupboard out as well. So as a bigger picture, it just doesn't sort of, it didn't really add up for me. And maybe it doesn't add up for the Patriots. And that's why we're hearing this from Jeff Howe as we're recording this, that, you know, maybe they're not going down the Lamar route. Yeah, there's still going to be people holding out hope. And I fully get that. I really do. And, you know, it's going to take us until the actual season before we really certainly know, or obviously he signs somewhere else, of course. So, but I think it's like you said, just too rich when it comes to the draft capital.
Yeah, I think so. And when you look at the needs of this team as well and what they need to address, they still have questions on the offensive line. I still think that is their top priority. I know I've been touting a lot of wide receivers on here. I'm very impressed with, say, Flowers and the present. And really, I'm becoming a lot more warm to the fact that if the Patriots do this, that they're not, you know, falling down the wrong path. But I still think ultimately, if I'm the GM, I go for offensive tackle. I go for offensive line, because if Mac's not getting protection, or any quarterback back there is not getting protection, none of the weapons that you have out on the field are going to matter. So if you're going to invest, that's where you invest, in my opinion. And I also think that it's important that you mention the logistical fit on the field. I don't think anyone is questioning, or at least they shouldn't be questioning, whether or not Lamar Jackson could come in here and navigate a Bill O'Brien offense. I think he's a much better traditional pocket passer than people give him credit for. Yes, the highlights are going to highlight his ability to extend plays with his legs or create plays with his legs. He's one of the most dynamic talents I've ever seen on a football field that can do it. But in terms of being a traditional passer, he can do that as well. So nobody is making this argument, or at least if they are, they shouldn't be making this argument, that he's not a logistical fit here in New England on the field. It's all the rest that comes along with it. And unfortunately, the Patriots just aren't in that financial wherewithal, and really in the needs department on their roster as well, to be able to just ignore that. So excellent, excellent insight, Tink. And we definitely are proud for that. We definitely appreciate all of what you bring to the table here, Claire. And in light of that, it looks like the Patriots are going to be running it back with either Mac Jones or Bailey Zappe. Yeah, that's right, folks. The stoke, the flames are once again being stoked for a potential quarterback controversy here in New England. If that is the case, who will get the ball under center? Claire and I are going to have the answer for you when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. Patriots fans, the illustrious Claire Clausy, Claire Cooper, host of A Claire Perspective, a Patriots podcast, powered by FPC Patriots, and of course, columnist extraordinaire from PatsPropaganda.com, joining me here today on Locked On Patriots, proud part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Claire, our team here in New England has been embroiled in a lot of rumors and innuendo the last few days. Obviously, Lamar Jackson, the big circular, really, I think just the main topic of a lot of those rumors was Lamar Jackson. But those rumors seem to be cooling. Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal kind of pouring a little bit of cold water on the coals on Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, Jeff Howe of The Athletic following up the report that the Patriots are unlikely to pursue Lamar Jackson. If that's the case, then the Patriots are looking to be running it back with both Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe. And I say both because Bill Belichick just seems to refuse to commit to Mac as the starter. And I know why he's doing it, folks. It's not because he's trying to drum up competition. It's not because he enjoys being raked over the coals by the media. This is simply how Bill Belichick does business. It's how he's always done business. He was asked about the quarterback situation on Monday when he spoke to the media at the owners' meetings in Phoenix, Arizona. Quoting Bill directly here, Claire, everybody will get a chance to play and will play the best players. Everybody will get a chance to play, everybody that's on our roster. If they earn the opportunity to play based on what they do in practice and all that, then they'll get an opportunity to play. And this has kind of given our colleagues in the media carte blanche to run with this and say it's still not Mac's job. We've talked about this a few times here on Locked On Patriots. When you look at this team going forward now, Claire, and the way they've put it together, the hiring of Bill O'Brien, all the steps that they've tried to take to enhance this team's offense in the offseason, do you still think a legitimate quarterback controversy or a legitimate quarterback competition is ready to take place in training camp?
Don't you just love it when Bill Belichick puts the teeny tiniest little drop of blood in the water and everything just goes crazy? I mean, come on, Bill Belichick had Tom Brady as his quarterback and he was still kind of very kind of ambiguous sometimes about what was going to happen and this, that and the other. So it's very Bill to be very much like this. And I love that you quoted it, because I've actually got the quote down myself, because I was ready to quote it if you didn't, because it's, yeah, just everyone will get a chance to play sort of thing. It was just so... yeah, free for all. Now, the thing is, yeah, I know a lot of people have put stock in how Bill hasn't been like behind Mac Jones and really sort of championing him, saying, yes, he's the starter. But like you said, that's so Bill Belichick. And it's like, Do we not realize, or do you guys not realize in the media that he probably does it on purpose just to get you all going? Because as soon as he says it, then that's it. Oh no, it's like there's gonna be quarterback controversy and stuff like this. So he's sitting there drinking his orange juice, as I think the meme is usually, chuckling to himself that he set the Boston media world aflame with his quarterback controversy. Now, if there is any truth to the matter, then I mean, the one thing that we've mentioned, and I was going to sort of mention again, was, yeah, how Bill O'Brien is the structure that sort of would work around the likes of Mac Jones. But now Bailey Zappi is a quarterback very similar to Mac Jones, you know, the kind of the football smarts, that sort of pocket passer, you know, they're sort of very similar. And that's obviously why they were to draft Zappi, because he had a very, I think we said it once on this show probably last season, he was very much of the Mac mold, and we liked that, and we still like that. And I think what we've seen from both of these individuals as fans, probably less so last year for Mac Jones because of what happened in regards to injury, but we've seen that, I think it's, you know, I think I'm not amiss to say that we've seen that Mac Jones can be a good quarterback, particularly more so his first year as a rookie, granted. But Mac Jones is a good quarterback, and I feel that we haven't seen everything that he's got. Now, I could be wrong, but, you know, this is just a matter of opinion. But I think we've seen what, you know, we haven't seen all of his, you know, he hasn't hit his ceiling yet. In regards to Bailey Zappi, you know, he's given us, he's shown to us that he's got, you know, the skill set and to be a good backup. He is a quality backup quarterback. Now, is he a starter? He's only done it a little bit and it was only semi-successful. So this is, it's remained to be seen. And this is what we sort of will need to see as it develops. So don't forget, you know, he was a rookie, that sort of thing. So yeah, both of these kids have still got plenty to prove. And I think they've still got plenty of room for improvement as well. But it just feels like Mac Jones was your first round pick. Bailey Zappi was, I think he was the fourth round or something along those lines. Apologies. I haven't got it in front of me. I can't remember his exact. You guys know that my memory isn't the best. But it just really feels kind of obvious that Mac Jones being your sort of first round quarterback, you've brought in the Alabama guy that you think is going to work best with him. It just looks more obvious that even though they're not saying it, Mac Jones is who they want to work kind of with around. Now, if he doesn't succeed this season, 2023 season, yeah, I can completely imagine that you would turn around and say, well, there's going to be plenty of competition between Mac and Zappi for the next season. If he was even there, I feel that this is the year for Mac to really prove himself. I think this is the year to sort of see if you've got what you hope you've got in regards to Mac Jones. So in regards to that, I think the only way you're going to see that, you know, the only way you're going to realize if you need to pick up this guy's fifth year option and all those sorts of, you know, complex things that come with it, right, is to give him a chance. So if you don't put him out there to show you what he's got, then how are you going to know? So some of it just feels a little bit like, well, common sense, really. You've got to give him a chance to show you what he's got. And is really on the practice field, you know, that it's not really the best stage to show that. Sure, it alludes to, you know, what you'll see in the individual, but it won't really give you a full picture of what they've got. And I think that that's what this year is for the Patriots. I think 2023 really is that year to build up some depth in regards to certain positions, because they got so depleted, you know, such as the offensive line, such as the tight ends. I think it's really a year for, you know, enabling that for the future, ensuring that the cupboards aren't empty and aren't bare like they were a couple of years ago. And also to sort of see what Mac Jones has got under the likes of Bill O'Brien. Because when you bring in, you know, a very quality OC who knows the system, who can succeed, works well with the rest, you know, the rest of the sort of the behind the scenes, the internal, the staff sort of thing, there's not much more you can do around him to help him succeed, other than obviously wide receiver one. I know a lot of fans will be saying that, but I think it feels like that's being built there, and it's to show us what there is in regards to Mac Jones. And that's honestly what I feel that 2023 is in regards to the Patriots. Yes, of course they want to succeed. Robert Kraft said they want to make the playoffs. Completely agree. As a Patriots fan, I want them to make the playoffs. I want them to win the Super Bowl. But I do think it's very much a stock up, create depth, bring us what's going to be the future of this franchise. And I think it's very key to see what Mac has got. So if you put in a competition between Mac and Zappi, if that is realistically what is going to happen, I am very surprised, because it won't give Mac very much of a stage to show what he's got. Mm-hmm. Maybe they know that, you know, that's what they need. They don't need to see much from him, and that's fair enough. They know way better than me when it comes to that kind of thing. But just my gut feeling is it needs to be Mac's year to really see what you've got in regards to him as a quarterback, to know, you know, what's going forward, you know, what comes next year in regards to picking up his fifth year option, that sort of thing.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. And I think so often we get sucked into a lot of the media narrative of what is said, sound bites, things that are said in a hotel convention room. You know, I mean, look, Bill Belichick, bottom line, is very strategic in how he speaks to the media and what he says. I know he gets a lot of guff for it from a lot of circles. I've been critical of him as well for, you know, not giving a whole lot of information, but what Bill Belichick said at its core is no different than anything else he's done throughout his entire career. You're going to give your best players a chance to make a difference on the field. It was a blanket statement. It covered all of the roster. It wasn't a shot either at Mac Jones or at Bailey Zappi. Look, bottom line, Bailey Zappi was impressive in his stint last year as the temporary starter, coming in, spelling Mac Jones. A lot of people didn't even think he was going to see the field, because don't forget, the job was supposed to go to Brian Hoyer initially in that start against the Green Bay Packers. He goes down with a head injury. Zappi steps in. Cumulative, pretty good statistics. I mean, he had a decent showing without any question. He can do it. 65 of 92 passes, 781 yards, 5 touchdowns, only 3 picks, and 70.7 completion percentage. Nobody's questioning whether or not this kid can play in the league. Mac struggled at times last year, but did show signs of promise. And to me, the biggest evidence that the Patriots are dialing in on Mac Jones this year is bringing in Bill O'Brien. This tells me that is the reason they brought him in, and they're going to roll the dice and take their chances with Mac as the starter out of the gate. Now, that being said, this is where I buy into legitimate competition as opposed to legitimate controversy. I'm buying the competition. I'm not buying the controversy. Mac Jones has to come in and show that he's ready to lead this team, take the reins, and work well with Bill O'Brien. If for any reason Mac doesn't do either of those, then the Patriots will have no choice, and they'll have no problem, by the way, handing the reins over to Bailey Zappi, because they know he can do it, and they'll feel comfortable saying, okay, Mac's obviously not the guy we thought he was. We need to put Bailey in there, and Bailey can do it and carry the load. That's when you'll see a legitimate controversy. Until then, there is no controversy, folks. At least as far as I'm concerned, Mac Jones will be the starter coming out of the gate in training camp, in off-season workouts, and we'll see how training camp progresses. I believe that the job will be his on the opening day. When the Patriots take their first snap, I think it's going to be Mac Jones taking it, but you know, I think that's where Bill Belichick's comments need to come into play here. It's not a situation where he's taking shots at his quarterback, or he's not giving him the confidence, or he's not endorsing him. This is just simply the way he operates and how he does business. And I don't think it should be a shock, especially to people who have covered him for a good long time. So that's my 2 cents on the matter. You've added your 2 cents. We've added our 2 cents. Folks, what are your 2 cents on the matter? We'd love to hear your thoughts on the Patriots quarterback situation. Should it be Mac Jones? Do you think Bailey Zappi deserves a shot? Are there some of you out there that still think that they should say, you know what, just let's go for it. Let's trade for Lamar Jackson. Let's go all in. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the quarterback situation. But we are always honored and grateful to get the thoughts of the illustrious Countess of Class herself, Miss Claire Clazzy Claire Cooper. Before I let you go today, my friend, please let everyone know where they can reach out to you, interact with you on Twitter, and what we can look forward to from the great voice, the great pen of Claire Clazzy Claire Cooper in the coming weeks.
Well, as always, you can get me on the Bird app. That's, down there at Clazzy Claire. A Claire Perspective, although it's the off-season, I'm still coming to you, but just not quite as often as usual, not maybe once every week now because it's the off season, having a few little breaks here and there. But yeah, please stay tuned for a Claire perspective. It has moved from Spreaker, folks, so if you are a Spreaker listener, apologies, it has now moved over to Megaphone. So if you are a Spreaker listener to a Claire perspective, please move over to Megaphone if possible, and I apologize for any inconvenience, but you need to speak to the higher ups at FPC, as that was a a decision that's way above my pay grade. So yeah, it was just a quick shout out to anybody who uses Spreaker to move over to Megaphone or anywhere else that you get your podcast, obviously. So please still check out A Claire Perspective. The last episode with Mike Dussault hit the airwaves the very, very end of last week. And the next episode should hopefully be with you kind of mid next week. So please keep your eyes peeled and ears peeled for that. I'm here for you each and every week still at One Patriots Place on the E2G Sports Network. They work us hard over there. So we're here for you each and every week. And obviously, do keep a check on Pat's propaganda. As it's the off-season, things have obviously quietened down for us a little bit. But we are behind the scenes in the process of getting some stuff sorted for the new season. So please do not fail to check out patspropaganda.com. Please, you know, keep us on your browser, keep us there. So yeah, we will be back very soon on there. So yeah, I mean, you can find me a few places, really, even if it is the off-season. So I'm still kind of out there if you want to listen, or as I said, get hold of me on the Bird app.
Absolutely, folks. And whenever Claire puts pen to paper or voice the microphone, it's a happening. You want to check that out. Pay close attention to her Twitter feed, because the new links for the new home of A Claire Perspective, a Patriots podcast, will be there as well. So check that out. And of course, folks, we thank you for taking time out of your daily busy schedule to make Locked On Patriots a part of your Patriots coverage. If you've made us your first listen, please make your second listen our good friends over at Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes. My good friends and colleagues, Kyle Krebs and Joe Marino, put on a phenomenal show, and they're going to walk you through all of the ins and outs of building a franchise from the ground up. Don't forget, Locked On NFL Scouting, much like Locked On Patriots, is available on all platforms, so definitely check that out wherever you get your podcasts. Folks, on behalf of the illustrious Claire, classy Claire Cooper, the Empress of Tight Endage herself, don't worry, we're going to talk some tight endage next week with Claire. We got a little distracted this week, but back to it next week. We thank you for all of your patronage. Continue to stay safe and stay well. Be the change that you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Locked On Patriots.